Now it's time for Toker Talk Radio, the voice of the marijuana nation.
What are you people? On dope?
Where you can toke.
I inhale frequently.
Or you can talk.
I experimented with marijuana and didn't inhale.
Or you can toke and talk.
10 federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
While we talk about toke on Toker Talk Radio.
So by the way, when it comes to pot, you know, if you're 40 years old, you live in a log cabin in Oregon, you got 12 giant pot plants in your backyard, have a ball.
Live from beautiful Portland, Oregon at Rolla J Studios. Plus your calls live at 971-533-7111.
They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
What's to keep somebody from getting all potted up on weed and then getting behind the wheel?
Gateway theory doesn't work. It's a reality.
Holland, is it real? Don't tease me.
We're locking up people that take a couple of puffs of marijuana, and the next thing you know, they got 10 years.
And now, here's your host, the guru of ganja graphics, the sultan of sativa statistics, and the worst nightmare of a reefer mad prohibitionist. A polite, perspicacious, productive pothead with a propensity for PowerPoint. Radical Russ Belleville.
All right. Welcome back, everyone. 4:02 in the Pacific time zone. My last live hour of the week. Getting ready to take off. Fly to Boston, Massachusetts for the Boston Freedom Rally. The Boston Freedom Rally. I have a couple of great t-shirts I'm taking with me. One of them is my Wicked Boston Strong shirt that I picked up in 2013 after the bombing. And the other one is one I just picked up recently, a great t-shirt. It's got the founding fathers. It's got Jefferson and Washington and Franklin and Madison, I think, in Revolutionary garb, but also with like bandanas and flashing gang signs. It says original gangsters. Like, all right. So I think that'll go over well in Boston and the Boston Common. It's going to be a great time out there, 2 days, and I believe they're going till 8 p.m. this year, both Saturday and Sunday. I'll be speaking and, of course, taking the recorder with me and getting all of the interviews and great music that will be out there and bringing it back to you here on 420 Radio. If you missed us in the first hour, we talked a lot about the buffer zone idea, and this buffer zone thing's been put off for a week at least, and they're complaining because, oh, now if we have pot shops and dispensaries within 1,000 feet of each other, can't be within 1,000 feet of each other, where the hell are new pot shops going to locate? Because all the dispensaries have all the spots. And of course, the dispensaries are fighting for it because their attitude is like, look, we were here first. We started this and we should be given a leg up. We pioneered this movement. We did all the heavy lifting. We should get the first crack at having the recreational marijuana businesses. But the looming deadline of December 31st, 2016 factors into this. That is when the early sales that begin in a week from today. That's right, folks. A week from today, I can walk 7 blocks down the street and buy some weed. Yeah. A week from today, we begin these early sales where any adult can walk into a medical dispensary and buy weed. A limited amount, but they can buy weed. But by the end of 2016, that stops, and those dispensaries will no longer be able to sell to all adult consumers. And adults will no longer be able to go into those medical dispensaries. They'll have to go to a recreational shop. So Oregon is going to have two completely separate systems. One system of growing and processing and testing, and certifying, packaging, labeling, selling marijuana to medical consumers. And then another system of growing, processing, labeling, testing, selling to recreational consumers. Two separate buildings selling the same damn product. And now they're saying those two separate buildings need to be 1,000 feet from each other. So basically you're making it 2,000 feet distance between a guy being able to go to a nearby pot shop or a nearby dispensary because they can only be every 1,000 feet, right? But in reality, what's going to happen here is all of these medical dispensaries are going to flip to being recreational locations, and those locations have to charge 20% tax to everybody. And then where does the medical shop locate? All these converted medical shops already have the best locations, and now they're recreational shops. Where does the patient have to go? Drive all the way out of town to get his tax-free medicine? What seems to me to be the obvious solution, and maybe they're just doing this because they see the handwriting on the wall too, and they think doing it this way is going to force this to happen, but the reasonable solution is have one system. It's weed. It doesn't matter why the person is buying it. It's weed. It's marijuana. It's cannabis, whatever you want to call it. One system to regulate the growers, the processing, the testing, the inspections, the labeling, the selling. One building where that happens and anybody can go in it and buy marijuana. And if you got a medical card, we just don't tax you and you can buy more. Why is this so hard? Why is this so difficult, man? It just blows my mind. And maybe they see that. Maybe they see that's the way it's just naturally going to evolve anyway. So by having this sort of system, we allow the dispensaries, we kind of incentivize them to flip to recreational. Then when there's the hue and cry about no medical access, we then go ahead and allow the recreationals to apply a tax break to the medical side. And then OHA's medical processing, growing, distributing program eventually withers on the vine, and all we have is OLCC's program of recreational licensing, processing, all that, with a medical discount, the medical tax break, and the existence of Oregon medical marijuana program to certify who gets the tax break.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens, non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no, it's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly if I said some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
Hey, this is Jill, TGA Genetics Weed Nerd. Watch the replay at 420radio.org.
As a police officer, I walked a beat, served on the vice squad and SWAT team, and became an expert on drug addiction. I saw firsthand the effects of Ohio's destructive marijuana laws. Simply put, they don't work. Ohio spends over $100 million each year on this failed effort. It's time for marijuana reform, so law enforcement can spend their time cracking down on real criminals and making Ohio a safer place for our families. Vote yes on 3.
Hey, I'm Herb Thrasher, host of the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, live every Friday night at 8 Pacific. Tune in for 2 hours of metal marijuana mayhem featuring exclusive interviews with the latest bands, highlights of live shows, and the latest in marijuana news. It's the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, Friday nights at 8 p.m. at 420 Radio, or catch the replay on Saturday nights.
Imagine life without taxes. Let New Era Certified Public Accountants, NewEraCPAs.com, handle your Cannabusiness 280E and tax strategy. Get your business prepared with New Era CPAs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. NewEraCPAs.com, with years of experience in the industry, we are one of the nation's leading accounting firms for growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies from Washington to California. NewEraCPAs.com.
Oh yeah. Welcome back, everybody. 10 after here at Rolla J Studios. We got the strong silicone bong, our glow-in-the-dark bong, which has yet to be named. We'll have to come up with a name for it. Long bong silver doesn't quite work because it's glow-in-the-dark. We'll have to think of something. That's Donald Byrd with Love Has Come Around, part of our Groovin' Thursday music. And speaking of Groovin' Thursday, make sure you check out tonight Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink coming up at 8 o'clock. We have got another great episode for you in the Funky Roller Rink. It's the Girls Funkin' on My Mind episode. All of the tracks refer to girls. So check that out tonight, 8 p.m. Get your funk on here at 420radio.org. All right, so there's this Sonia Sotomayor quote that was brought up in Kevin Sabet's piece, but I've read it elsewhere. And many in the marijuana law reform community and elsewhere are kind of upset at Justice Sotomayor for this comment that she made at Amherst College about marijuana legalization as an issue that young people should get passionate about. She was speaking to them about being passionate for social justice and to get involved and to vote and be civic minded when she said this about marijuana.
I don't really care what kind of thing you become passionate about. Maybe legalizing marijuana, but you know, even that has people who have been passionate and have accomplished something, okay?
And I think the marijuana community is being a little too rough on Justice Sotomayor about this comment. I think it was actually kind of a backhanded compliment and not so much a dismissal of marijuana legalization. I think in the context of what she was talking about, it comes off to me like, we need you to get passionate about saving the world, changing major problems in the world. You know, racial justice and income inequality and climate change. Get passionate about that. And her reference to marijuana legalization in context seems more like a, yeah, I know it's a popular thing and yeah, it has, some people have accomplished some things with it, but not a total dismissal. I think in the context of it, she's just saying, don't be so lured in by marijuana legalization when there's these other major important things to accomplish. Now, many have written back about how, well, and I'd be the kind to do this as well. You know, marijuana legalization has its impact on racial justice. It has its impact on climate change. It has its impact on global wealth inequality. I mean, it interfaces a lot of those things. But, and I think Justice Sotomayor would recognize those points as well. So I don't make too much of this being her dismissal of marijuana legalization as merely as much as it is, it's contextualizing it, putting it at a lower priority level than other social justice issues, not denying that it is a social justice issue. If you got a different opinion on that, my phone line's open here at 844-420 radio. That's 844-207-2346. We are on day 5, I believe it is, of the Salio not calling into the show, Stoners Against Legalization in Ohio, who have many times, and I've given the number on Twitter, I tell them, you can call in. I'm giving you a free platform here to talk about your embrace of prohibition for another year, but they never seem to call. That's okay. We've still got plenty to talk about here, including a group that deserves more attention. We've been talking about Project Sam for a long time on this show, but there's another group out there that deserves some of our attention, and that group is called Pop Pot. Pop Pot. P-O-P-P-O-T. Pop Pot. And that's their website. I should say that's their website, Pop Pot, poppot.org. And their group is called Parents Opposed to Pot. So their organization's acronym is POP, P-O-P, Parents Opposed to Pot. and that makes their website Parents Opposed to Pot, Pot. Okay. I have my little fun. Anyway, Parents Opposed to Pot, bursting the bubble of marijuana hype. And they tell a story in four parts on their website called, and this came out this July, and it's called Poisoned by the Weed, Marijuana and Pretty Little Killers, Part One. And it tells the story, a tragic story, of these three teenage girls. Two of the teenage girls, a bit older and more sexually developed, who develop a lesbian relationship and then end up knifing to death the younger girl, the slightly younger girl, who they were worried would expose them for their tryst. And it goes on. There's a book. There's a whole book that's written about this that the article refers to. And throughout it, they point out how these girls were smoking weed and how smoking weed changed their lives, turned them from normal, everyday kids into these deranged killers that knifed to death their friend. And there's another story that's up on Forbes right now, and it's Jacob Sullum referring to the Richard Kirk case out there in Colorado, where this guy shot his wife to death while she was on a 911 call, and allegedly the reason why is he was all psychotic from a marijuana edible. And tales like this go all the way back to Harry Anslinger's day, talking about the violent criminals who would axe people to death on their raving marijuana lunacy. And it makes you want to laugh, but these pot people really, really believe this stuff. They really believe it's the marijuana, and they point to other killers, other situations. They talk about the Tsarnaev brothers, the Boston bombers being potheads. And basically, they just find any of the people that have done heinous things. And if they happen to have used marijuana, then therefore the marijuana must have led them to do heinous things. Here's the reality. Sometimes human beings do some heinous shit. Sometimes even cute little teenage girls murder people. Sometimes that happens. And sometimes people smoke marijuana. And sometimes those two circles in the Venn diagram overlap, but is not any sort of causation. But even if it were, then we would have to take the massively higher numbers of deaths, murders that are committed, manslaughter that is committed by people under the influence of alcohol, and then we would have to ban alcohol. If the rationale of a handful of killers influenced by marijuana means that we must ban marijuana, then the thousands of people murdered, killed by drunk drivers under the influence of alcohol then requires us to ban alcohol. But that never seems to be the logic that we get back from the pot people. They have all sorts of interesting pages on the pot site. There's a marijuana versus alcohol one. And I have a feeling I'm going to get myself a whole lot of information, a whole lot of new material for the show off of this pot. They have a medical marijuana. One of their things that says medical marijuana, backdoor to legalization. Child endangerment. Violence, anger, explosion from marijuana. Please share this post with every concerned parent you know. Marijuana and child neglect and abuse. Hash oil explosions. Parents opposed to pot. We'll keep our eye on them and on Project Sam right here on the Russ Belville Show.
Well, what the hell are we supposed to do, you moron?
It's 4:20 out here in the Pacific time zone. That means it's time for us to take a shot on the strong silicone. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we've got some Groovin' Thursday Daily Toker tunes for you. We are 1 week away from legal marijuana sales in the state of Oregon.
Belleville Show is proudly sponsored by the Marijuana Business Association. The MJBA, called by NBC News the Cannabis Chamber of Commerce, is the fastest-growing business association in the fastest-growing industry in America. I've been working with the MJBA for years, and I personally invite you to join the MJBA. MJBA also publishes the popular MJ Headline News on Facebook and the MJNewsNetwork.com, and Marijuana Channel 1 on YouTube. Visit MJBA.net for more details.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belleville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Groovin' Thursday, featuring rap, hip-hop, soul, and funk music. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tune.
Time for our Groovin' Thursday Daily Toker Tunes here for our 420 break. We don't have Chuck Diesel on the line. He is busy today, so we'll go straight to the tune, Get Dizzy, with Bus, Rose Gold, Champ, Snacks, Prank, L.E.M., Mecca. I hope I got it all.
Yep. Dizzy. Soul searching with the rhyme. And if this don't work, I guess I gotta pitch dimes of that soft tail line. Pack a nine, 24-hour grind. Fucking 9 to 5, shit lethal. Not all good, money legal. I smack the boss up, I'm out for more bucks. Ambitious champagne, caviar, yellow rollie, call it gold dust. I roll up more than a little bit. So much your bitch love the smell of it. Rose gold, I'm relevant. Dizzy, what up though? We on the run, they need a time, I huddle. Never stop until my niggas good. Bubble, and for that, y'all niggas in trouble. I'm talking, the boy got flow from head to toe. It's Patterson 973, now you know. And if it don't, you whack. It's like this, like that. Cause when we get on, our name gon' ring to the crack.
I am the truth, and these niggas just lying. King of the jungle when it come to rhyming. And I ain't even hit my prime. When I get to the top, I'ma still keep climbing. Came from the bottom and rebound like Rodman. Now it's like wrist where everybody watching. Never low, your hoe will tell you I'm the top pick. I'ma keep going, so God tell me stop it. Cause I'm pissing the devil off with all this hot shit. Calling the shots and a nigga on this block shit. Just for all the felons on they trying to get a job shit, but they can't. So now they in a trap on some mob shit. Just another nigga trying to blow, winning, but lost my mind a long time ago. I'm high up, but the streets, it be grounding me. Shaked up good, thanks to niggas surrounding me. MFG.
Put me on the mic, the name Big Snacks, no cookie on the mic. I'm Jersey for sure, like Snooki on the mic. That be the situation, and if you hatin', it be my fist that you facing. Have a recollection of me jabbing you, attack him like an animal. I'm sicker than the doctor at the hospital. On the fluid, got me higher than my blood pressure. Nothing better, besides getting cheddar. Nigga, what you think I work for? I stash that, then I cash that, and use it to make more. Damn it, pair snacks to a big rap, Jack Black. Them pair snacks to Forrest Whitaker on crack. I'm the man, and you can never underestimate it. Telling you that I go hard is an understatement. Patience is what I don't have. The bitches need me like a coach bag. Get busy, damn it. Living in Patterson got me panicking, cause my life's at a standstill like a mannequin. So I'm scrambling, every bit of change in my pocket before I black out like a plug pulled out of socket. That demonic chronic got a nigga high as hell. Used to be hooked on phonics, now I'm losing brain cells. With every L I burn, with every joint I smoke, it's sorta ironic, they call me prank cause life's a joke. Death's the punchline, don't feel bad if you don't get it. Just be grateful God don't think it's time to punch your ticket. So when I kick it, I'm damn sure that it's vicious. Live it up and come back. Tupac's holographic image. Y'all get the hint if I hint it when my life will be finished. But I won't spoil the ending. Like massages lasting less than a minute. My soul is in it, cause no one can see what I'm feeling. So when you say what's up, I point up and say the ceiling.
Yeah, I'll be that pavement. You know the crack in the streets, never frontin'. That's why I'm back on these beats. I spit it for my niggas that's moving crack through these streets. And when they get paroled, fuck they back on these streets. So I let my shit hit the block like I crap on these streets. Man, these niggas be weak. They hoe acting, broke niggas, steady laughing. Don't realize they the joke niggas. I toast niggas early morning, right before I have my breakfast. Pardon me if I disrespect your crew, but that was on my checklist. Tell your wife me to check this. Bet I get her pussy the wettest. License suspended, but valet still check the shit. It's Patterson like my mama shed blood here. Vampire life, no twilight, but I shed blood tears. It's dizzy, fuck it, I slit my wrist and shed blood tears. You niggas don't play fair. Patterson, what's up?
Man, yo, I said Lisa old Carlos, and Carlos old Reefer to a man with a reputation for kicks and heaters. A bitch named Keisha, I knew her from the bleachers. We had an intermission involving pussy and beating. Eating, nah, I'd rather skip up on the meal, cause I prefer Bud like Wises on the field. One and only major, marine like a seal. You can smell a boy coming like chitlins was the meal. I can't consume, I'd rather a spoon with chicken and some veggies flowing in my soup, nigga. Truth be told, they're all garbage, waste. Just another space while I'm parking, pace. Better yet, turn into a rude ass customer. Cut your ass in line just because we in Target. I'm out of my dome, but I'm still down to earth dome. Banksy with a knife trying to carve me a Persia so I can stuff that bitch. Shit, it ain't about the money, but we need that shit. Not for us, but for others who believe that shit. So you believe that shit, but when it's gone, Uncle Tom still with that pocket lint. Real shit, 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 shit.
Joy Beckerman-Maher, and you're listening to 420radio.org.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com. At Herbie's Cannabis Seeds, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best quality seeds from the world's most respected cannabis seed producers, all at the lowest online prices. You can find Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. All cannabis seeds are sold as souvenirs and as a means of preserving cannabis genetics. Herbie's Seeds in no way intends to condone, promote, or incite the use of illegal or controlled substances. We strongly urge all prospective customers to check their national laws prior to placing an order. Herbie's Seeds at herbiesheadshop.com. Proud sponsors of The Russ Belville Show and 420 Radio.
You're listening to 420 Radio.
Listen Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific for The Hash, podcasting at thehash.org. The Hash is a new podcast that's elevating the discourse around cannabis. Every other week, the cast of The Hash dishes out a smart, eclectic mix of breaking news, fresh music, exclusive interviews, advice, and commentary for a national and international audience. Check our online listings for The Hash from thehash.org.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
I've always joked that the milk and Oreo people are behind the legalized marijuana.
Well, pot's not a drug, it's just a leaf. The magazine quotes Schwarzenegger as saying, that is not a drug, it's a leaf.
It's a useful drug in some patients, not by any means in every patient. And I think, as such, it should be available, and a doctor shouldn't go to jail for prescribing it.
It's been a long time coming. Change has come to America.
Welcome back, everyone. That's music from Heads in the Clouds with Legalize It. Hanging out here at Roller J Studios in beautiful legal potland, Oregon, where I have lost a fan. It happens. Sometimes I piss people off, and then they hate me. Latest one is a fella on Twitter named FreshCoast420. I believe he's a Michigan guy. And he says, you lost my fandom. I know you don't care. I wouldn't either. When you told Ohioans to shut up and to, quote, shut up and take it, end quote, while telling rest of us, quote, this shit won't happen to you next, end quote. Well, I'll forgive the misquoting because it's Twitter. He's trying to capture the what he feels is the gist of what I was saying. I have never once said, shut up and take it to Ohioans. I've never once said that. That's not at all the way I would deal with that. What I have said, and take it. I love that take it. And then the follow-up rejoinder, this shit won't happen to you next. That refers to my analysis of the fact that Ohio is one of the few states where you could actually pull this constitutional monopoly crap. There's just logistically, it's not possible in most other states or feasible. You know, first of all, less than half the states have the initiative process. So already a majority of the states you can't pull this off in. Then of the initiative states, four of them are already legalized. So you can't got to take those off the board. And then one of them, Nevada, is already on the ballot. So it's off the board. And then about five or six others have pretty strong qualifiers for the ballot in 2016. So they're kind of off the board. Of the ones that are left, you got a bunch of those Intermountain states like Idaho, Wyoming, South Dakota, North Dakota. They got initiative, sure. You think anybody's going to pump some money into those to buy their legalization there when it's got not a chance in hell of passing? No. So there's only a few states, maybe Illinois, maybe Florida. But Florida's got medical already going pretty strong, and they need 60% on a constitutional amendment there, so it's not a real safe bet. And Illinois is a clusterfuck of trying to get anything through its initiative system. So there's really not very many places where it's feasible to do what they're doing in Ohio. That's not a shut up and take it, this shit won't happen to you next. No, that's just analyzing the possibilities of what's going on here. Because that was in rebuttal. By the way, that's out of context, Fresh Coast, because that's in rebuttal to a point made by the other side that says, if we do this in Ohio, it'll become the template for the rest of the nation. No, it won't. But anyway, I love the framing of this of take it and shit. That somehow what's coming to Ohio is a terrible, shitty thing to happen. How dare we? What an awful thing we've done to stop harassing cannabis consumers. To make marijuana legal, to create an economy bolstered by legal pot shops of which anybody can own and run. legal processing facilities that anyone can own and run. But it's shit because there's only 10 grows and they're all spoken for. So is the problem that they're all spoken for? Or is it the problem that there's only 10 of them? Would you support Responsible Ohio, Issue 3, if there were still only 10 grows allowed, but it was open bidding for them, competitive bidding, merit-based bidding, let's say, requirements like you'd find in like the last six medical marijuana states where like Connecticut, you have to show you have a $500,000, was it $2 million? $2 million in escrow? Maybe it's a $500,000. One of them had a $500,000, maybe that was Massachusetts. But anyway, some of these East Coast medical marijuana states where you got to have six figures in escrow before you can even apply for these things. Would you oppose it then? Okay, well, if that's the case, if we had 20 of those licenses that required the $500,000 escrow, is that okay? So is it too few licenses or they're too hard to get? I just want to know what it is that would be, oh, well, like Oregon's. We want it like Oregon's. Oh, you do? You want it like Oregon's, like ours. And I have to admit, we got the best legalization in the country. You want what we got. You want a system where it's going to cost about $5,000 to get into the pot shop business. You want to be a grower, probably about that much as well, as far as the fees and all that kind of stuff. We have no artificial limits on how many there can be, like Washington State came out with, right? So you want it like Oregon's. Okay, raise $20 million, put that on the ballot in Ohio, and see that it passes. And you can have that. Oh, wait. In 45 years of trying, the people who propose that kind of stuff have never even gathered a third of the signatures they need for even a medical marijuana initiative. Ah, how shitty it must be. So you want what Oregon's got, free market, completely open marijuana. What you have right now is nothing. What you have right now is prohibition and criminal dealers and punishments for people who buy, sell, and grow marijuana. You have nothing. But it would be some shit you'd have to take if you got everything you wanted except the open grow part right now. And again, let me emphasize, right now. Acting as if you pass this thing, 10 growers will forever be all there ever are for eternity. Yes, I know it's written into the Constitution, but the fact that this Constitution got amended to have 10 growers tells you that you can change it. And suppose you get your 1,000 pot shops or whatever end up being, maybe it's not even that, maybe they're overestimating, maybe it only ends up being 200. Maybe only 100, but however many pot shops you get and processing facilities and so on and consumers who want now to buy legal marijuana. Now you've got groups that can form lobbying packs. You got citizens who can openly support changes in the law, who can gather together and raise money to form ballot initiatives to change some of these things. You're no longer operating from the perspective of being broke criminals. Right now, you're broke criminals. You're broke criminals. And you're going to turn down everything you want. Legal possession, legal home grow, good amount of possession, Oregon-like home grow, Oregon-like possession, Oregon-like pot shops, Oregon, everything you want in Oregon, you're going to get. And not only that, better medical marijuana, because you're going to be allowed to medicate at work. You're going to give up all that because the one part about growing isn't like to your liking. You're going to stay broke criminals rather than take everything you want but one thing and use the economy you will build from all those gains to get the one last thing that you want. Now, the response I get for that is often, well, once the oligopoly is entrenched, they'll have all the money. They'll have all the money, And they will defeat anybody that comes their way. There'll be an entrenched lobby that will defeat anybody who would dare to change the laws in the state. Maybe so. Maybe they do become a strong lobbying influence. But if they do their job as poorly as you predict, they wouldn't be very popular among the people. And if they do their job well, there's not much for the consumers to complain about. It seems to me more of the concern about this is driven from the possibility that these 10 grows might do a great job and people might like it. When these people get in these discussions with me, and it gets to the point where they start calling me names and then I block them. And it's just frustrating because, you know, I do my best to provide links and data and science and analysis to back up my claims. And my latest one is that 10,000 lives every year are impacted by marijuana prohibition in Ohio that wouldn't be if marijuana was legalized. Here's the way that breaks down. There was 11,988 arrests or citations made by Ohio police in the last year for marijuana, for possession. Now, I'm saying arrests and citations. The data that you download, I've got the Excel spreadsheet that comes straight from the Ohio Criminal Justice, whatever it's called. The label actually says just arrests, marijuana arrests, adult marijuana arrests. That number seems awfully high for being just arrests because an arrest in Ohio has to be for more than 100 grams. So I'm interpreting it to be arrests and citations based on a similar situation we had here in Oregon. I'm covering my ass, to be honest with you. On the other hand, Ohio's got a much bigger population than Oregon. Maybe those are just the arrests. I've got a phone call in to the Ohio bureau there that collects these stats. I'm trying to find out, when you say arrests there, are you meaning more than 100 gram arrests? But regardless, passing this law, I predict, would have a similar effect. There was 11,988, there was 826 arrests for sales or manufacture in Ohio in 2013. So you're 826 plus you're close to 12,000. You're somewhere close to 13,000 in total arrests. 12,800, something like that, right? Close to 13,000 a year. And no reason to believe that there'd be fewer as we go on. Of those 13,000 in Colorado, when they pass their legalization of just an ounce and just three mature plant home grow, the number of marijuana charges, all charges in Colorado, dropped by 80%. 4 out of 5 people in Colorado who would have got charged before didn't get charged after marijuana was made legal. Just an ounce, just three plants. So I think a similar thing could happen in Ohio. You're going to go down from 13,000 to about 10,000. 13,000 to about 3,000. 10,000 of them will be people who will no longer be busted. And then they came back to me on Twitter and said, 10,000 minor possession tickets are not reasonable price to pay for selling out our marijuana grow or whatever the hell it was, something like that. And my response to that is just that it's not 10,000 just tickets that I'm talking about. First of all, those 11,988 arrests that are listed in that Excel spreadsheet for possession, the number of those that are above 100 grams is likely to be a non-zero number. Not all the 11,988 are just tickets. That column isn't just tickets. It's arrests and could include possession for greater amounts. The sales manufacturing ones are clear. That's 826 of them. In Colorado, 80% drop across the board in charges. And I've got the numbers, and I don't remember where I put them, so I can't tell you off the top of my head, how that breaks down in Colorado for sales versus possession. And it's a similar decline. It's like 80% decline. Even in the bigger crimes of sales and production. And the reason for that is when you legalize marijuana, you end probable cause in many respects. The smell of pot is no longer an excuse for a policeman to detain and harass you. And that is the step that gets taken that then leads to finding the greater amount, that then leads to setting up the sting to bust the guy for the bigger buy and the bigger load and so forth. When the little fish can no longer get caught for his less than an ounce, he's got no reason to snitch on the bigger fish who's got more than an ounce. When the ounce is legal, the smell of it can't be used to justify a search, so a drug dog that alerts to marijuana is no longer of use to the police. They've been retired in the four states now that have legalized marijuana. They have to retire. They can't retrain these dogs. They have to retire them and get brand new dogs that are trained for meth and heroin and coke, but don't alert to marijuana. So, no, it's not just 10,000 tickets, I'm saying. If it was just, hey guys, can y'all just take 10,000 $150 tickets? Shit, we could do a Kickstarter and raise, what, $1.15 million to pay everyone's tickets or whatever it'd be, $1.5 million? I don't know. Didn't do math in my head. But that's not what it is. This is people's lives being messed with. And furthermore, this attitude that, well, it's just a ticket. It's just a ticket. Have you ever been in an encounter with a police officer when you've got marijuana on you and there's a ticket at play here? That's the key they use to harass you and search you and pat you down and question you and try to intimidate you into the other crimes they can find. This doesn't happen. This isn't addressed by decrim. This isn't addressed by medical marijuana. Only legalization cures this sort of thing. And the other one that they want to debunk me on now is saying, well, you said it was now or never. You have to vote. It's now or never. I've never said it's now or never. I said it's now or your next likely shot is 2020. Because in 2016, it's not going to happen because all the money and the attention is going to go to all the big California and all the rest of the legalization. Not going to happen 2017 because it's an odd year election. 2018, maybe. 2019, not likely. Odd year election. Then maybe 2020. And now they've come back with this article where one of the investors talks about how if they fail in 2015, they'll try again in 2017. And they're using that as a debunk saying, see, Russ was wrong. There'll be another try in 2017. And I'm like, wait. Now you're happy that the rich assholes are going to try to legalize marijuana? It's like, okay, these rich assholes are trying to corner the market in 2015. And when they fail at that, they'll suddenly become altruistic and want to free the weed and create perfect true legalization in 2017. No, they'll tweak their language a little bit. They'll tweak it just enough to get past that constitutional monopoly problem, but still guarantee that the people investing in the project will get some benefit from it. Don't be so naive as to think, oh, doggone it, we didn't get our monopoly in 2015. Let's come back and pass the Jack Herer initiative for them. No, not going to happen. Too much big money on the line. I'll never understand these stoners against legalization, but I got to tell you, they sure do provide a whole hell of a lot of content for the show.
America's Double R7 secret agent of progressive change.
The name's Belville, Russ Belville.
This is the Russ Belville Show.
Goldfinger. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, there's a brand new video out. I sat down with a documentary filmmaker to talk about the history of marijuana prohibition. This was at Bobby Platshorn's Florida event a while back, and he's just released the video, so we're going to take a little bit of a listen to that. It'll be my first time hearing it. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back.
Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Despite strong public support for medical cannabis, decriminalization, and legalization in Georgia, the state spends $121 million every year to arrest, prosecute, and imprison Georgians for simple possession. Each year, the state of Georgia spends less on driver services, agriculture, and forestry combined. What else can $121 million a year do in Georgia? With that much money, the state could hire and keep 3,000 more teachers, improve roads and bridges, provide tax relief for small businesses, repair aging sewage systems, or lower taxes. But right now, that's millions of dollars of your tax money wasted on failed enforcement. Tell your representative you're tired of wasteful spending and ask them to end cannabis prohibition. Join the conversation at www.peachtreenormal.org. Peachtree Normal is a proud affiliate of Normal, the national organization for the reform of marijuana laws.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
Right on, that's Big B with We Can Smoke featuring the Cottonmouth Kings. We're going to get groovy tonight at 8 p.m. Pacific with Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink. It's the girls episode. Every track has something to do with girls. And then tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Pacific time live, Herb Thrasher here for the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, including his exclusive interview with Dave Tree of the new band See This World. They're playing at the Boston Freedom Rally, which is where I'm headed tomorrow, like noon is my flight. Got to go to San Francisco first, and then San Francisco to Boston, folks. Ugh. I got to find some edibles. I got to have some edibles somewhere. Knock myself out. Flying is the worst part, folks. I love everything else about travel, except the flying part. All right, going into this last segment, there was a producer who caught up with me at the Bobby Platshorn's Meet the Experts that I did out in Florida, and he asked me to do a could I sit down and just basically tell him the history of cannabis in modern America? Like, yeah, sure, I'll just knock that out, right? But he was cool, and I was like, yeah, I'll do that. So I sat down with him, knocked out a great, 18 minutes, I think it was. And then went about my day and did my thing. And then I got contacted by him later, and he said, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. The first recording, there was something wrong with the mic, and it was a short, and we the video was good, but we didn't have your audio. Would you mind doing that again? And I was just doing it off the top of my head. It's not like I had a presentation written up or anything. I'm just riffing, right? And I've been in that position. The first time I ever interviewed Tommy Chong, July 4th, 2007, in Vancouver, Washington. And had the same problem. The mic had a short in it, but the video was great. So he had a great video of me just talking to Tommy Chong, but no sound. So I said, yeah, I'll redo it. So I redid it, and he uploaded it today. And here is a little taste of it from Filmmaster Entertainment. Cannabis in Modern America.
Hi there, my name is Russ Belville from The Russ Belville Show. Today I'm here to talk to you a little bit about the evolution of the marijuana issue itself, a little look at the history. Oftentimes we're hit with the line that we shouldn't legalize a third drug. There shouldn't be a third legal drug. We shouldn't introduce marijuana into American culture. And I find this to be quite ironic, since American culture has featured marijuana in it in one way or another since its founding. We can start all the way back to the very founding of the first colonies here in North America. The Jamestown colony in 1611 was the first place where the English settlers began planting hemp. And so we can look back to industrial hemp in this country as over 400 years worth of history of industrial hemp. Throughout colonial times and leading up to the Industrial Revolution, hemp was a major cash crop for the colonies and a major reason why the British were utilizing the colonies for their farming of hemp that was so valuable for the sailing industry. The British Navy, being the largest navy in the world at the time, needed the ropes and the sailing and the rigging and everything that you would make from industrial hemp. Hemp turned out to be a far superior crop for rope and all of the things that needed to be used at sea, since it is resistant to rot and mildew and very high tensile strength and so forth. So it was a very important cash crop, so important that the American colonists in Virginia and other colonies could actually pay their taxes in hemp, and some of them were even required by law to grow hemp. So this is nothing new in America when we talk about the hemp crop. Just quick note, hemp and cannabis, both the same plant, basically, same family of plant, but hemp is the crop that is kind of a cousin. It's non-psychoactive. It doesn't get you high in any sort of way. It's just an industrial crop. But also we have cannabis, which is the medicinal flowering tops that we often call marijuana in this country, but everywhere else in the world they call it cannabis. Cannabis had been known throughout human history. We can go back 7,000 years on this if we really want to. But as far as American use goes, it was incidental here and there, used somewhat for pain and aches and so forth. There's some theory as to George Washington perhaps using it for the tooth problems that he had, the teeth problems that he legendarily had. About the mid-1800s, in Britain there was a doctor named O'Shaughnessy, and he went to India and was studying how the people of India were still using bhang, B-H-A-N-G, which is their preparation, a liquid preparation they make from cannabis plants, and they were using it medicinally.
So the video is out there on YouTube. He's still got it unlisted at the moment, but I have tweeted out the link if you want to take a look at it. Cannabis in Modern America lasts about 15 minutes, and I was very happy to be a part of it. That's all the time I got for today's show, because time flies when you legalize. We are a week away from legal cannabis sales, and on Thursday, October 1st, we will be live at Canisea, the grand opening of a new dispensary here in Portland, Oregon, where myself and Anthony Johnson will be among the first Oregonians to legally purchase cannabis in this state. For everyone here at Roller J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers!
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.